Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. From time to time, our complex world calls people back to simplicity. Simpler is easier, more profitable, it seems to say. Companies claim simplicity when they downsize or refocus. Products are marked all natural or organic. People market paleo diets. Go back to the simple ways of old. Marie Kondo invites readers to the life-changing power of tidying up, a book I've not read. In all of this, there's the idea, and there is some truth to it, that if we just reduce life to its essentials and get back to basics, stop the quest for more and return to what really matters, things will be easier. Simplicity produces serenity. Clarity means less struggle. And so the world calls us back to the basics. And yet, isn't it amazing that sometimes the simplest things, the very basics of life, can provide the greatest struggles? Take, for instance, two simple words. I will. Simple words that start a lifetime of commitment. With these words, couples promise to seek not their own interests, but the interests of another. And how simple the words, but how hard the commitment. A neighbor asks, "Should I put my husband in a home?" And after she asks, an hour-long conversation of facts and feelings reveals 6 months of decision and indecision flowing forth. If I help him stay home, he feels secure and he's happy. But he's fallen lately and his mind is failing. And I worry about him and I think he'd better be better off with professional care. But if I place him in the home, he'll have all the care in the world and the opportunity to make friends and daily activities. But what can you do with a broken heart? He doesn't want to go. Can 24-hour nursing care replace our marriage? Shouldn't I honor his wishes? Listening to a neighbor speak like that, you realize that the words have been spoken before, late at night, in hour after hour of prayer. She offered to God her tears and anger, her fears and love, and all of it coming out of two simple words. I will. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, I will. And so your neighbor is still saying, I will, as best she can. But for her, the simple things of life have become a great, great struggle. Luke tells us about simple things. A story of our Lord's prayer in the garden. And he wants us to notice that our Lord's agony occurs over the simple work of his life, doing his Father's will with great focus, taking on himself the cup of God's anger, dying for our sin. This is what his prayer is about. And Luke summarizes it for us in a single sentence. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's all of the actual prayer that we hear. In a few seconds, we hear Jesus' prayer, and then we're on to the rest of the story. And it's easy for us to overlook the struggle. Maybe it's just because of that Luke emphasizes it for us, going to great lengths to describe the agony. As in anguish, Jesus prays. Earnestly, he offers his words. Sweat falls from his body like blood to the ground. An angel of the Lord comes to his aid to sustain him. But what does Jesus say in all that anguish? Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. How long did he pray? Luke doesn't say. We only know it was long enough for the disciples to fall asleep. Luke doesn't describe all the words, and he doesn't describe all the hours, because there's really no need for all that, is there? Anyone who's been there knows. Anyone who said yes to the will of God in this world knows how long those nights can be sometimes. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be faithful to your spouse. Care for your children. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Such simple words. Simple words to guide us in this life, yet anyone who has said, "I will," to these words knows how strong the struggle can be. When a parent is dying, when a child doesn't come home at night, when a spouse is distant or absent, the agony is great and the nights of prayer can be long. And words no longer can contain the depth of our pain, and so we find ourselves saying the same things again and again. Emotions run in. Sorrow at things that are lost. Joy at what for a time had been found. Fear for what could happen. Hope for what might be. Confidence that God is watching, but uncertainty that he hears. Anger at our situation. Longing for it all to be over. Fear that it all could end. We watch and pray and cry and fear. Sometimes in exhaustion, we simply fall asleep. There's only so much we can bear in our lives, like that of the disciples, sometimes shut down under struggle. Luke tells us, the disciples slept that night, asleep like no other, sleeping from sorrow. And maybe in the struggle, there are times when we are brought to that place of agony and sadness from the simplest of things. Yes, desiring to do the things of God can lead to places of deep exhaustion and sorrow when we live in a broken world. Yet our Lord continues to pray. While disciples sleep from sorrow, while God's people fail under the power of struggle, while the world is too weak to accomplish what God desires, Jesus goes on. Jesus prays. Jesus rises to waken his disciples. Jesus does his Father's will. And by showing us that contrast, Luke reveals that there is one thing stronger than our struggles. The simplest love. God's love for the world in giving his own Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Father's will is to give up his Son, to forsake him in punishment for the sin of the world. And the Son's desire is to do the will of his Father, laying down his life that the world might be saved. Only God could love like that. And only God could serve like that. A father's love, the son's service, and a world's salvation are all gathered tonight in a garden and offered to God in the agony of this prayer. But God's love is stronger than sorrow, and Jesus, in willing obedience, submits to the will of his Father and says, "Thy will be done," for the sake of our people. Jesus enters the places of our sorrow, and he makes them a place of strength. That night, God's will overcame human weakness. His love turned a place of great sorrow into a place of strength. And tonight I encourage you to live in that comfort. Oh, he doesn't take us out of the struggle. Tomorrow we return again to a world where the simplest things can create great struggle, but the simple will of God for us and our neighbor can produce times of agony and trial. But God's love is beyond our loving. God's strength is beyond our weakness. And nothing in this world can separate you from that love. God forgives your sins. God claims your life as his own. There is nothing that his love has not conquered, and there is nothing that will take you away from his love. Your life is secure in his hands, in the hands of the one who made you, who loves you, and who bought you with his own blood. Tonight, the Lord who prays for us assures us that we are in God's hands. He conquered our weakness so that we might be strong. And when we engage in those long nights of prayer, we pray to a God who truly listens. When we don't have the words to express the depth of our feeling, he gives us his Spirit, who intercedes with groans that are too great for words, bringing what our mouths cannot say to the heart of a God who hears. And even on those dark nights when we fall asleep in sorrow, we sleep in the kingdom of a God who loves us. So whatever the circumstances, rest, sleep well, and rise, knowing that God has us. Pray and labor, knowing that we are members of a kingdom where God watches over his loved ones when they sleep and as they wake. Go forth knowing that he has prepared a place for you to go in times of struggle and sorrow, a place of his loving strength, a place where he has overcome, a place where he prays for you. Rest now in his love, know his strength. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise to sing the canticle.